And welcome back once again to the Parish of the Patriots. This is the 369th installment. And as always, your host, Grandpa Dan. I'm recording this over the weekend, as I am wont to do. I usually record this. I'm recording this this week on Saturday morning. So as always, if the world blows up on Monday, that's why I'm not talking about it. Not because I'm somehow unaware. But hopefully that won't happen. We got a lot we're going to talk about. I think we're going to have a fun discussion today. Of course, that's my goal every week. I know some weeks are probably better than others. We will be discussing basically whatever I feel, whatever I feel like discussing, but I'm confident that it'll be hopefully somewhat interesting, informative, and maybe give you a chance to look at it from a different perspective. I will be doing some Christian-specific stuff mixed in there, and hopefully kind of tying into the other things we're discussing. That you may enjoy the way I'm doing that right now. You may not. But bear with me, because I think it gives it some more of a, relevance to our everyday lives. You know, how we apply to or see things through our, as far as our regular day-to-day lives or the world around us. If I can kind of tie some of this in to how it applies, maybe not. It's just mostly easier for me because I can roll with the show. But like I say, we're going to get into a lot of different stuff. And so if a certain topic we hit is kind of boring to you, don't worry. I'm not going to probably spend the entire show on it, but I don't think anything will be boring. I think it's all going to be fun. If you do get something out of the show, don't be shy to pay those tithes. We got snail mail. That's all we've got. They just look here on the description for the show and address an envelope. It is appreciated. And last week I failed to check my mail. I had a lot of things going on. I still have a lot of things going on, but I didn't forget to check my mail. And we actually, it bore fruit this week. We've got some notes here to go through. And on one final programming note. My sinuses are horrible this morning. I always record first thing in the morning. I'm fresh. I'm more fresh. It works better for me. But I don't know what it is. But first thing in the morning when I get up, after I've been up for about 30 minutes to an hour, my sinuses are just terrible for like an hour or two. And then they finally settle down. And so, yeah. Y'all are probably used to that by now. But if you do notice it, that's what's going on. Let's hit this listener supporter mailbag right off the bat. GPD. Here we are again, better late than never. Do you think the clown car will ever hit the bottom of the ravine? Watching the fall is a pretty numbing experience after so many years. All the best from the multi-culti libtard hell state. That's from Jackie. Thank you very much. It's like we're watching like this slow motion train wreck. You know, I said on a recent show, you know, I'm at this point, it's like, it's obvious that the empire's done. Let's just pull the scab off. You know, I mean, this, it's obvious this is over. I mean, does anybody, I don't know. And well, I say, does anybody? Yes, there are people. I see them. I know you and you see them as well. And they somehow look at these events that are happening. And they still think that, oh, things are going to get better. This, the show is over. You know, the party is over. And it, you know, I don't know how you can look around and think, oh, yo, in 10 years, things will be stable, normal, and ready to go. When you could just look at this downward trajectory that's increasingly, you know, it's just increasingly getting worse and worse. It's just, I had to stop somewhere. I was out and about. Helping some folks out, and I had to stop somewhere, and I ate this little hole in the wall place, and they had TV on up there. There weren't a lot of people in here. They had, you know, a lot of these places, you know, you stop and eat somewhere, and they'll have a damn TV on. I wish they wouldn't do that, but they do. And they had Fox News on there, you know, and there is a table full of folks, let's say one generation older than I. And I mean, they're just glued to it. You know, they're just looking at it. And, you know, everything going across the screen, you know, is, it's utter bunk. And I'm thinking, wow, there really are people who still watch the mainstream media and I guess give it some sort of credibility. So yeah, no, they're out there, but no, it's, this thing's done. It's just a matter of how, you know, I wish we could just negotiate a settlement. You know, let's break it up. Let's just plan ahead, set up individual countries, and just do it in an orderly fashion. But we just can't do that. It's always got to be chaotic. We just wait until the thing completely blows up. Let's see what else, because we've got, that's right, we've got more than one. GBD, please use this small tithe as the Lord and you see fit, and pray for the destruction of, and I'm Gen X, early Gen X. I barely missed being a boomer by a few years. So I am cursive literate, but I apologize. The last word here, I stared at it and couldn't quite tell what you wrote, but I did see the multiple parentheses. So I'm going to assume the destruction of so-called Israel, or as I personally like to call it, the abomination that causes desolation, standing where it ought not to be, not claiming that that reference in the Bible literally applies. But if the description applies, it applies. If it quacks like a duck, walks like a duck, it's a duck. And that is, that thing over there is the abomination that causes desolation, standing where it ought not to be, just purely by my own personal description of praise Jesus in God's love. And that's from CJ. And yeah, I appreciate it, CJ. And again, I know a lot of you, you know, a significant number of folks, they like using the actual ancient, you know, pronunciation for the Lord and for Christ. And, you know, that's cool. I raised saying the Lord and Jesus Christ. So that's what I put there. And then, because if I tried to do it too, I'd probably get it wrong. And then I would just look stupid. You know, it would just be like, it'd be like if I went up to some kids, you know, and we're like, yeah, 6, 7, whatever the hell that means. I don't know what it means. I'm not going to find. Yeah, I would just look silly. I wouldn't look hip and cool. They would be just like, this old guy. What is he doing? Finally, Triangle Whip GPD. How are things going? What do you think of the so-called obvious bait thread here? Obvious bait from Triangle Whip, but I will buy. What do you think of the so-called moon voyage? In my opinion, I think the moon landing is like the Holocaust. Total BS. Again, I see your bait. I see, I must look like a big mouth bass to you, Triangle Whip. And you may be right, because I will. I got a bite. You do. You got me, man. Got a bite. It's awful handy. We have this latest moon mission. Right when America desperately needs some sort of wind to point to and say, we're number one. It's fake as shit. Look, I'll be upfront. Yeah, I try to be upfront. My opinion, these are just my opinions. It's all you get on this show. My opinions, you obviously are all welcome to, you know, and some of you may like 80% of what I say, but then that 20%, you may be like, he missed the mark. Yeah, look, I don't expect anybody to agree with me 100% on everything. And, you know, but hey, the 80%. That we see eye to eye on, that's great. And I think that's the correct way, you know, the correct way to see things. So, you know, anything you don't agree on, just roll with me. We're all just having a good time. Yeah, no, they're wearing me out with that. I mean, and there's so many things you could just look at this. And I'm not even getting into, I'm not even going to the original moon landings and all of that. I'm talking about the current event. The Artemis II mission. If you just step back and look, and I just step back and look, and maybe there's explanations for these things, and I'm just missing them because I'm ignorant. But to me, you just step back from the programming, because they do try to program you. It's a form of like hypnosis. For instance, they've been going on for 2 days now, counting down to splashdown. when you read these articles about this, take note of how often they use the term splashdown. Splashdown, splashdown, counting down to splashdown. The capsule has officially splashed down. It's a programming term. You know, they use that instead of just simply landed in the ocean. Splashdown. Everything is marketing because marketing is a form of hypnosis. They're hypnotizing you on your TV to buy their product. You know, they show all these people out there looking so happy and smiling, and their life is perfect. And why is their life perfect? Because you bought that person being portrayed on the TV, bought their product. And you'll be smiling and happy, too, if you buy their product. It's a form of like programming, hypnosis, whatever you want to call it. And you see this term, splashdown, splashdown. They're hypnotizing. If they're marketing something to you, there is a certain level of BS to it. But like I say, no, you just look at some basic things, you know. They show these people, you know, here's another hypnotic term. Look for the programming words throughout this reporting on this. I see these things and they say images. They're talking about these images and they say they've been beaming them back. Beaming, and you see multiple articles or watch multiple stories on this, and they all say the same thing. Latest images beamed back to Earth. Beaming it back. They beamed the images back. They beamed them back. It's an odd term. It's an intentional term. It's a hypnotic term. Instead of, they sent these images back. No, they beamed them back. I have long concluded when it comes to this, all of this moon mission space nonsense that they promote. You know, the programming is long term, you know, and like, you know, for instance, I'll use Star Trek because it's applicable here. When you see a news story being presented to you as fact, and they say, look at these images that were beamed back from the Artemis II mission. Where have you heard that term? Beam me up, Scotty. Everybody knows what that means. Beam me up. It was beamed, just like Star Trek. So you can see that go way back to Star Trek, and these things are part of programming the people. Sure, when you were watching Star Trek, you knew it was a fictional show. You weren't sitting there watching it going, oh my gosh, this is real. Nobody did that. You understood it was fiction. But I believe that when you take in video, because we're not really programmed, our brains are not really programmed for video and the things we have. Our brains are programmed to look at things in front of us and interpret them. So even though you watch something on TV or a movie and you understand this is fiction, it's not real, your brain still has to file the information somewhere. So it puts it in a file. Then later on, when they use the term, look, our space mission, it's going out there, it's coming back, and they beamed back images. And your brain grabs that term. I've heard that before. This is all in your subconscious. And beam back, where have I heard that before? And it pulls that out of that file. And it adds legitimacy. Oh, yeah, you associate that with space. It makes it more effective. That's just my amateur opinion on it. But it's undeniable that they do use these terms intentionally. Instead of just saying transmitting images back to Earth, they say beamed it back. It's marketing. It's hypnosis. Of course, most of the images they beam back are basically no different than the images they were showing before they ever went. Except the images that before they went, they put on their, you know, NASA animation. Now they don't have that on there and they tell you they're real. But no, I'm not going to beat this to death. I need to move on. But I was starting to say, and I want to at least finish that point. I mean, you just step back, though, and look at some of it and ask yourself, you know, just as a matter of practicality. They show these images beaming back, and here they are, and they're always smiling. You notice that? These astronauts, they're on the capsule, and they're doing a live stream. They can't have time. They can't keep the damn internet running, you know. How often are you trying to stream the latest episode of anime and that thing's buffing up? But somehow they could do a live stream from outer space. And you ever notice the astronauts are always just like the news people? They're always smiling like your news anchors. They're smiling, smiling. We're having so much fun in space. Look at us. We're having all this fun in space. You look at that. They have basically taken five people and allegedly crammed them into this thing, which is roughly, they're allegedly crammed into a space the size of my bathroom. And they've supposedly been up there for 5 days, and they're all smiles. Does that sound real to you? You take five of your closest friends, five of your closest family members or whatever, and y'all cram your asses in my bathroom, and I'll lock the door, and we'll see how well y'all are smiling and getting along. The bathroom is a good metaphor because they're going to have to use the bathroom, aren't they? You. Women, you out there, because they got a woman on this thing. I'm taking way too long with this, but you got me started. I said I bit, and I bit hard. Got a woman on this mission. Ladies, you know how, if you're married woman, I'm talking married for a while. And, you know, married, because you got newlywed married, you know. You got dating. Then you got newlywed married. And then you got long-time married. These are all very different things. Because if you long time married, ladies, you know what I'm talking about. You long time married and you go walking through the house and you know what it is. Your husband, he doesn't even bother closing the bathroom door. He don't care. He's in there taking a big groaner. He's taking a big groaner. He don't care. In fact, he probably is in there snickering because he know he's timing it. And you walk right through the door, you know, right by down the hall, and he waits till he knows you 100% in earshot, and then he lets loose, and he in there snickering, or be like, oh, the apologetic moan. That's your husband. And this woman on here with these other dudes in this locked into the bathroom, this little tiny capsule thing the size of my bathroom. She's locked in there with them, and they all taking turns taking a big shit. And they all smiles for the camera. Okay. If you say so. I'm not buying it. Yeah. Not buying it. Yeah, we are. We're moving on here. This is Saturday, so they're supposed to start the big negotiations with the Iranians today. It's tough. So I don't know how you're the Iranian. I don't know how you're anybody in the world. Iran, China, Russia. How the hell do you negotiate with the U.S.? Because they lie about everything. They're incapable of telling the truth. I mean, hell, they had the ceasefire, and it's like, there it is in the ceasefire terms. Lebanon. And the next day, Israel, of course, does what Israel does best and starts bombing the crap out of Lebanon. The Iranians are like, ceasefire's off. And then they have to run around and scramble and say, oh, Lebanon wasn't a part of it. I mean, I guess they have no choice. I mean, at some point, you have to sit down and try to deal with these people. But good night. You can't take these people at their word for anything. And it cracks me up because so many people, you see people and they still don't get it, even when they're outraged. I was watching a deal last night, and a guy was going on about how outrageous it is that Israel is blatantly, you know, bombing all of this, you know, all these civilians in Lebanon, you know. And I'm just like, this is what they do. You know, Israel decides, this is what happens every time. And y'all already probably know this, but it's the truth and I want to say it. This is what happens every time. Israel decides they're going to invade southern Lebanon and steal some more land. They send the IDF in. Hezbollah proceeds to kick their ass. I think one day earlier this week, like I said, I'm recording this on Saturday. One day earlier this week, they lost like 20 tanks to Hezbollah. Hezbollah has no tanks. And Israel still managed to lose like 20 tanks. This is what happens. Israel rolls into southern, and they're not going deep. It's like 20 miles over the border, and they can't manage it. Now, you may say, well, that may sound shocking to the same people that were sitting there in the restaurant, mindlessly boomer staring at Fox News. But the mighty IDF, they have, this is what they do. They invade southern Lebanon. Hezbollah kicks their ass. And then, just like clockwork, Israel goes back to doing what they always do best. Bombing apartment buildings, hospitals, churches, mosques. Hell, in Iran, they even bombed a synagogue because they're equal opportunity bombers. they bomb their own dudes. They don't care. This is what they do. You look at how many of the Fox News mouth breathers understand that they have not defeated Hamas. They have successfully turned Gaza into a giant pile of rubble. They have managed to successfully slaughter tens of thousands, at the very least, civilians. Guess who still basically holds Gaza? Hamas. Yeah, they hold a pile of rubble. You can say, yeah, what have they won? That's not the point. Because remember, wars and conflicts are about achieving political goals. Israel's political goal is to seize that land, have all the Palestinians gone, dead or alive, they don't care, and taking the land over. That's what they do. That's the political goal. They have bombed it to rubble, but they haven't seized the land. Hamas is still there because every time at some point in time, no matter how much you bomb, no matter how many missiles you drop, you got to send your dudes in with rifles. That is what happens. That's what you've got to do. And every time they send their dudes in with rifles, Hamas pops out from a pile of rubble and shoots the shit out of them. And so they got to retreat. It wears me out when I hear people go on and on. Oh, man, America has bombed this and they bombed that. Who got the most people blown up? It doesn't matter. What are the political goals? That is all war is. Understand, it doesn't matter what they tell you. Your government can sit there and give you this daily dose of whoever the enemy of the day is, are the most evil, rotten villains that ever existed on the face of the earth. And that is why we, the upholders of justice, must go vanquish the enemy. If your government could achieve their political goals by going over there and just talking to them and maybe giving them a little money, they would do that. You know, the whole villain story they give you is just because that's the story they need to give you because they're going this other route. They're going this other route because they can't go over there and just negotiate. No, they can't. If they could, they would have done that. It's as simple as. It's political goals. It doesn't matter. If you have two opposing nations, just make this simple. If you have two opposing nations that go into a conflict, nation A, you know, has their political goals. Nation B has their political goals. Nation A somehow miraculously fails to kill a single person from Nation B. Nation B, on the other hand, manages to kill 100,000 of Nation A's dudes. At the end of the conflict, when all the dust settles, Nation A achieves their political aims. Nation B does not. Nation A won, okay? It doesn't matter. They can kill any of the other guys' dudes. It's about achieving political goals. So whenever somebody, whether it's Trump or these people in the media or some rando on the internet, sits there and tries to, oh my gosh, they're rattling off all of Iran's stuff that America's bombed. And that means we won. Let's see. The only reason the U.S. is doing negotiation now is they're desperate to get the Strait of Hormuz open. Do you think they would be doing that if they could militarily force it open? No, they can't. And they've got to get it open. The Strait of Hormuz was open before they even started this stupid endeavor. It's kind of like the U.S. spent, I don't care how many people in Afghanistan the U.S. killed. I mean, let me rephrase that. On a moral sense, yes, we should care about that. I'm talking about, you know, in a practical sense here. It doesn't matter how many people the U.S. killed in Afghanistan. The factual matter is the U.S. spent 20 years and who knows how many trillions of dollars to replace the Taliban with the Taliban. I love that meme because it's the truth. 20 years, trillions of dollars, they replaced the Taliban with the Taliban. They did not achieve their political goals. That's why you could say they lost in Afghanistan. What were their political goals? Did they achieve them? That's it. That's how you judge these conflicts. Now, one of the things I am finding amazing, you think of guerrilla warfare, you know, and people using asymmetrical tactics. And you'll see a case of, you know, a powerful country that has, you know, billions of dollars worth of equipment, and they go up against like guerrilla fighters and they do really poorly. It's amazing to me because I stand back and observe these things. I do my best. I think I do pretty good at not getting emotionally invested in them, because the whole hype, the reason they do marketing and hypnosis on you is because they want you emotionally invested. I always remind people that don't live in the U.S. You have to understand the average American views politics as no different than a football game. They have a team and they cheer for that team. This is normal. You know, I don't have a team because I'm not a part of this garbage aside from just living here. When you see Team D cheerleaders mocking the Red Hat cultists because, oh, they just sit around and watch Fox News, they're so stupid because there's nothing true on Fox News. Well, that's correct. But understand that when a Team D president is in there, the roles are reversed. All the Team D guys, they're so stupid, they sit around and watch CNN and they think it's all true and it's not. Anyway, what I wanted to get to is the observation that Israel, and when I say Israel, I don't mean just the abomination that causes desolation that's sitting where it ought not to be. I'm talking about the whole kit and caboodle. Whatever term, because all these different terms get thrown around, you know, the Zionist entity. Because if you say Israel, you have to include the U.S. government in that because they're a subsidiary of Israel. You know, I mean, that I enjoy the fact that that's no longer controversial. You know, we used to say those things 10 years ago and you know, you have that little voice in the back of your mind going, man, you know, you're petting the dog's fur the wrong direction, you know. And now it's like this is mainstream. Everybody knows this. Kind of cozy feeling, not going to lie. So when I say Israel, I mean all of it. I'm talking about the whole idea. I'm just using the term as a blanket term. They are losing badly the narrative war. The war for whether you want to call it a propaganda war, because that's part of it. But I mean, just for the overarching narrative, they have lost it. Now, and I have to admit, look, I try my best to be correct. Sometimes I'm not. I'm not omnipotent, psychic, any of those things. I was saying, I was pretty frustrated before this broke out on February 28th. Before this laser round broke out, I was saying, I was on this show venting a little bit of frustration and not understanding Iran. You know, I said something along the lines of, look, if you know this guy is fixing to punch you, why are you waiting? Only a fool waits for him to get the first lick in. If you know the fight is on, just get up and let's do this. Let's start swinging. You know, there ain't no need to stand there and trade insults for another 10 minutes. You know, there ain't no need for that. If you know it's crossed the line, we're throwing hands. Just go ahead, do it. Why Iran sitting around? Why is Iran sitting around waiting for the U.S. to throw the first punch? In hindsight, I was wrong. I was wrong because they have played this masterfully. You know, I hope they don't screw it up at this point, because up to this point, they have played it masterfully. And I was saying that stuff back then and I was wrong. Looking back now, they couldn't have played it any better. Everybody sees Israel, the U.S., again, one and the same thing for what they are. They already knew, but I mean, now it's so in your face. There's no way. Trump just looks ridiculous every time he tries to come out and demonize the Iranians. You know, I mean, you come back to, dude, you blew their dudes up. They're top dudes in the middle of negotiations. Like, they were meeting because y'all threw some more negotiating points out there. You knew they would be meeting to discuss those, and you drop bombs on them. And it doesn't help that right off the bat, I mean, like in the first day, the U.S. blows up the school and kills all the little girls. I don't care how good your PR machine is. You can't spin that. I'm sorry. You just can't. And then, of course, the way it was handled, you know, instead of just coming out and say, yeah, we did that. We apologize. It was a mistake. You know, we used that bad intelligence, outdated intelligence. We screwed up. That one slipped through the cracks. And just own it. It would have been better instead of what Trump did. Try to claim that, oh, Iran blew it up themselves with tomahawks. Everybody's got tomahawks. Everybody knows this bullshit. Let's reel it back in. I look around and it cracks me up because Israel spends millions of dollars forming people's opinions, controlling people's opinions. They own virtually every media outlet in the U.S., in the West. They own all of them. They're acquiring more. Hell, they even took America TikTok away from China and gave it to one of these guys. Benjamin Netanyahu's on film, on camera, doing a speech about how important it is that they control TikTok, social media. Form people's opinions, control the narrative. And they've spent all of this money and they've grabbed all of these things and they're losing the narrative war. Because some things are so bad and so in your face, you can't spin them. You just can't. Have you seen, I'm a fan, I think they're hilarious. Have you seen the Lego videos? They're propaganda videos on behalf of Iran. I don't know if they're actually produced just by random people or how much of them are endorsed by the Iranian government or whatnot, but they're pro-Iranian. Look, every side uses propaganda. Propaganda in and of itself, you know, the term has a negative connotation to it, but everybody uses it. But have you seen the Lego videos? I find them very entertaining. They have, like, you know, money, you know, hard rock music or even rap or whatever. They're obviously geared towards younger people, you know. But they're effective. They're all over YouTube. You can find them on YouTube. But, you know, they had these Lego videos making fun of Hegseth and Trump and Netanyahu and whatever. And, you know, of course, the heroic, you know, Iranian Revolutionary Guard. And And all of this banging music. There's one video, you know, Vladimir Putin's, you know, like the DJ. They're funny. They're entertaining. I'm old. It's not geared towards me, but I can look at it and say that's effective. Moreover, you can go down. If you find one of these videos, you watch it. Be sure and go down and read the comments, because you have people commenting from all over the world, including America, including the U.S., Canada, various countries in Europe, saying we stand with Iran. You know, Iran is the good guys. Iran was attacked in the middle of negotiation. Iran, you know, Israel is a madman running around on the world trying to kill all his neighbors. They have to be stopped. Stand strong, Iran. These are the kind of comments are on here. Meanwhile, while losing the narrative war, what's Israel doing? I'm going to tell you what they're doing. AI chatbots through text. I kid you not. I get these spam texts, you know. And I get a text the other day. And I mean, it's obvious bait. You know, hi, this is Emily for Friends for Peace. Do you have a moment to discuss, you know, the relationship with Iran and Israel and America in the Middle East? And normally I just spam that stuff. I was having a particularly tiring day and was just, you know what? I'm going to troll the chatbot. I'm going to see what the chatbot has to say. I know. I'm not even proud of that, you know, but I was having one of those days. I was in one of those moods. Sure. What did you know? And it's, you know, you can see what is going to be a mile away, you know. And what their response, their chatbot response was, you know, boomer talking points from the 90s. I kid you not. Well, did you know that Israel is the only country in the Middle East that shares our democratic values? They have been attacked by the terrorists. The terrorists they didn't intentionally blow up hospitals. The terrorists hide in hospitals and use people for human shields. Same shit they've been peddling 30 years ago. Well, you got people banging out these Lego videos, which, again, are just kind of silly. But they're popular. They get all these views. Meanwhile, what's Israel? They've spent millions of dollars and they got an AI chatbot texting people with talking points from the 90s. That's their counter to this. And they wonder why they're losing the narrative war. They wonder why the percentage of people, especially among young people that support Israel at all in the U.S., is plummeted to nothing. The amount of support they have are primarily boomers and some from the, you know, the younger you go the boomers, you got the biggest percentage of people still support Israel. You drop down to my generation, Generation X, and that number gets a little smaller. And you keep going down, and the younger you get, the fewer people. Now, if you are selling a product, because that's what they're doing, they're selling a product. And no matter how good your sales are today, if you're looking towards the future and your primary customer are people, they're going to probably, most of them are going to be dead in another, say, 10 to 20 years. You ain't got a whole, your company does not have a bright future. If your stock prices are up, I'm selling. It's kind of like Harley Davidson, the motorcycle company, you know, here in the U.S. You know, they have these ridiculous, expensive, heavy, slow motorcycles. This is a company, you know, and I hate to see it because it is an American company. It's just a piece of America that's been America for so long, you know. I mean, there is a certain allure to riding a rumble, bumble, bumble, bumble Harley. But the fact remains, the vast majority of their clientele are old people. You see very few, next time you're out on a nice warm day on the weekend and you see the Harley riders out there. Note the average age of the people riding these things. They're ridiculously expensive. I mean, ridiculous, laughably expensive. And you know, the people that have this romantic view of them are going to be older people. That's all that can afford them, and that's the people that have a romantic view of them. You see very few young people that give a shit about a Harley. If you see a young person on the bike, they're on the sport bike ripping past the line of rumble, bumble, bumble Harleys. They're like a rolling roadblock down the highway. They're ripping past them on the sport bike. Gone. That's what young people that are into motorcycles are riding. They're all riding sport bikes. Some of them are just doing dirt bikes or these adventure bikes. This is how it is for Israel. The younger you get, there's no future support there because the support they do enjoy are from older people. And just as Harley-Davidson doesn't have an answer to capturing that younger demographic, Israel doesn't have an answer. When your answer is AI chatbots with the same talking points y'all were spewing from 30 years ago, you don't have an answer. You know, I mean, you just don't. Young people aren't going to go watch Easy Rider and long to go get a Harley and be free on the American road. You're not. There's no future for the company. There's no future for the message. Speaking, and I haven't even got to the main thing I wanted to talk about today. And we're a little over 40 minutes into this show. This is how much fun we have here at the Parish of the Patriots. I had something I wanted to get into because then I want to get into a Christian thing that kind of ties into it. I'm 40 minutes in and I hadn't even got to the... See, I can't say the main point. You know, I don't talk about it, you know, we have a description. You know, I have to write that up. You know, Sven kind of tries to make it more presentable because I just kind of throw some shit together. And bless his heart, Sven has to sit there and say, "How can I make this more? How can I make this more, you know, legible?" It's hard. It's hard for me to write a description of the show because I talk about a lot of different things. You know, it's not like. You know, it's not like, okay, today's show will be a discussion on the Battle of Gettysburg. You know, that would be easy. I talk about a lot of different things, so it is. It's hard. So don't ever judge the show by the description, because I usually just pick one or two things I talk about, put it in there, and then kind of make a note that I talk about a lot of other things, too. Anyway, 40 minutes in, talking about this age thing, and bear with me, you know. Look, I'm a Gen X, and I'm Gen X by just a few years. I missed being a boomer by, you know, just a couple or three years. So, and I think what people miss when, you know, because boomers get mad. Boomers be getting mad when you get boomer critical. And I know I have boomer listeners to my audience. I hope you'll stay with me through this. Stay with, trust me. Trust me. You're going to understand by the time I'm done here. What they miss is when somebody says something about boomers. Again, stay with me because I have a point to this. This isn't going to be your normal, oh, the damn boomers. Boomer criticism is about the attitude. It's not like, oh, you were born within these years. That magically makes you an asshole. That's stupid. The criticism is about an attitude, and it's just the term boomer has stuck to that attitude. I'm going to get to that here in a minute with what I call the oldest boomer in history. So stick with me. But seriously, these old people, and I'm old. Well, I mean, most people, if you're in your 20s, you look at me and say, I don't know what you're talking about, old people. You're old ass. What you talking about? Old people. White hair looking. Crippling around you. Sit too long and then you get out of the car and y'all like, stumbling around because you got to walk 30 feet looking for you. Everything straightens out and you can walk normally. What you talking about? Old people. You know, you can't be the president of the United States. I think you have to be. I don't remember what the minimum age is. I should have taken the time to look it up so I would sound informed. But there's a minimum age. That's all you need to know. It doesn't matter what it is. Why do we not have? And that's for understandable reasons. You know, I don't want a, you wouldn't want a 20-year-old running your country. That's stupid. You know, some of the most disastrous, as much as I'm a fan of monarchy, and I think it's probably your best bet in government, you know, the most disastrous monarchies were usually the ones where the king died sooner than he should, you know, was anticipated, and the crown prince ascended to the throne, and the crown prince was like, you know, 15 or 20. You know, he either wound up making disastrous decisions, or he just wound up being a puppet while the advisors ran the show, kind of like the Biden regime. See, it's the same thing. That's what I'm getting to. The most disastrous monarchies were often the ones where you had a child king. But it's just disastrous with some of these old people. I understand why you have a minimum age. That goes without explaining. And if you're a young person, you're like, oh, that's stupid. We need the young people. Look, you're saying that there shouldn't be a minimum age just shows as a prime example of why there is one. Because you don't know what you don't know. You know, I get it. Look, you know, like I said, I'm getting up in years, but that don't mean I don't remember. And I get aggravated when people my age or older pretend like, you know, oh, when I was your age, I could do this and I could do that. And I went and did this. And why don't you do that? Bullshit. When I was young, when I was y'all's age, I was one of the worst that thought, you know, I knew everything. Nobody could tell me nothing. After decades of learning shit the hard way, because for some reason, I seem to have had to learn every lesson the hard way. I couldn't listen to anybody telling me, you know, that's a dumb idea. What the hell does he know? And then, oh, yeah, he was right. That was a dumb idea. There's a minimum age for a reason. That goes without saying. But why the hell is there not a maximum age? You know, Trump is like 79, I think. He's fixing to turn 80 years old. And he looks like shit. Look at him. These tweets, Truth Social posts, that's so stupid. You know, just call it Trump Social because nobody is on Truth Social organically. Anybody subscribed to Truth Social, see what this idiot's going to post up there next. And it's like the ravings of a madman. That Easter post he did, that was just, you know, if you had anybody with integrity in the government, they would have gotten together and invoked the 25th Amendment. It's time to get this guy out of here. I mean, that was just absolute madness. Now, as I said, minimum age, you had some of the most disastrous monarchies was when you wound up with a child king because you just had the administration, the advisors were running everything. He'd just sit up there on the throne. He don't even know what's going on. How's that any different from the Joe Biden administration? He had no idea where he was, if he was horseback or foot. And the administration was just running. They had the auto pen signing stuff because he couldn't even sign it. He didn't even know. Is that any different? Why don't you put a little kid in there? It would be the same thing. It is time, if you're going to support this stupid democracy system, which I, you know, so I'm just speaking as a matter of, you know, I guess you could say, for the sake of discussion, the system is utterly corrupt. You're not going to fix anything within the system, but it's just as a matter of for the sake of having the discussion. Why would you not have a maximum age of 75? You cannot be in the Congress. You cannot be in the Senate. And gosh, you had Dianne Feinstein, I think it was. She was like in the wheelchair. And they rolling her in there like she's going to vote. And you know somebody's sitting there picking her finger up and pushing the damn button. Come on now. Joe Biden, you don't even know where he is. They have him, he's going to make a press conference, an announcement, so they have to get one of his body doubles out there. You know, I'm sorry, but if you in your 80s, you ain't got no business. You know, it's a high stress job. You know, I think there ought to be a maximum age. If you're 75, you automatically retired. I don't care if your term is up. Like you in there and then like you got two more years left on your term. It's your 75th birthday. out. You're retired. They do that with airline pilots. You know that? They got an airline pilot. I think when they're 65, I don't remember what the actual age, but there is an age cap. Doesn't matter if you passed your medical, your physical, everything's good to go. If you're in the airlines, when you hit maximum age, you're done. You're retired. Why? Because the reaction times are going to start slowing. There's just a matter of fact of aging. And if anybody is older and you're honest with yourself and everybody else, you know this is true. Your reaction times are slower. You just, all of it goes. This is why the airlines have, you know, a mandatory retirement age. But not our politicians. These ancient, don't use the colorful language. These ancient fossils can stay in there until they just, like, they literally ought to be in a nursing home somewhere. Because you can tell they at the point they can't wipe their own ass. And they still in there, though. Enough. No, enough with it. Trump looks like hell, if that's even him. I you know, we know they swapped out body doubles for Biden. I don't know. Because, you know, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. We're just going to leave it at that's him. You know, the Trump from 2015 is not the same guy. That's not to say 100% they literally swapped him out. That's a possibility, but I don't know that. What I mean is he's 10 years older. And the difference between your 20 years old and your 30 years old, or your 25 years old versus your 35 years old, is night and day from you're 69 years old, now you're 79 years old. The average age a man lives in the U.S., I think, is 76. So this guy already fixing to be 4 years past his expiration date, if you go by the average. He's 4 years past when everybody else is expected to be dead in this country, and he's calling the shots, ostensibly. Do you get what I'm saying? And you add into it the boomer mentality. And now I want to get to that. Remember, I said earlier, boomers stay with me because I'm not criticizing a age group. Criticizing a mentality. And that's what you need to understand. When you hear people that are criticizing boomers, they're criticizing a mentality. Now I want to get into the Christian specific thing, and it ties into this, believe it or not. I know you've been waiting for that. We're looking at the book of Isaiah, chapter 39. And it says, those who bless it. No, that's not. That's not what it says. Now, I'm going to read through. I'm not reading the whole chapter. I'm just going to kind of give you something. But then I'm going to read through the rest of chapter 39. Not too long. The whole chapter is pretty short. I'm just going to read through it. And then I want to go back through it kind of slowly, because it makes the point. I find it amazing, and we'll get into it as we break it down. But to give you a little background, Hezekiah is king. And Hezekiah, at one point, he was on death's door. He was going to die. He is the one, you may remember, he was the one that he was going to die. And Isaiah the prophet comes to him and says, yeah, the Lord says you're going to die. And he's like, oh, pray on my behalf, you know, ask the Lord that I may live. And the Lord gave him, I think, another 15 years off the top of my head. And as evidence of this, that he moved the sun back. The shadow moved backwards on the sundial. You may remember that, which I'm going to fight the urge to say, wow, you know, if we're on a spinning rock and going around this massive giant sun, how would you move that backwards without everybody flying off the spinning rock? We're not going to do that. We're not going down that hole. That is what has happened. And Hezekiah comes back from death's door. Now, the people from the nation of Babylon send a entourage over there to offer him some gifts, you know, as a congratulations for getting better. And Hezekiah can't help it. He's got to brag. These guys bring him some nice gifts, and they're kind of, you know, buttering him up a little bit. And he's like, y'all come look at this. And he takes the Babylon people, the people from Babylon, back there and shows them everything he got. He's showing them the gold, things that his forefathers had, other kings had collected over generations. Because he just can't, he's got to brag about it. And here's where we're going to pick up, because now Isaiah the prophet goes unto Hezekiah. We'll just start at verse 3. I really probably should have just gone ahead and read the whole chapter. But anyway, at verse 3, we'll go ahead and pick up there and we'll go to the end here. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Then said he, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all that is in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shewed them. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that thou shalt issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. You look at the Bible, it's a daunting book, and sometimes you got that challenge. You know, you want to be able to say, I've read the Bible from front to back. And that's all well and good, but quality overcomes quantity. And what happens a lot of times is you're just reading to read through. You know, you read the story, it's like, okay, yep, on to the next chapter, because you're trying to get through there. And really, you should be studying. In reality, you should be studying for quality over quantity. So I want to kind of go back over this. I may read it, but I may not. Anyway, so where we have, I'm going to look at the whole situation, because Hezekiah is possibly, when I read this, Hezekiah is possibly the earliest recording of a boomer. Now, obviously, he's thousands of years ago, so he's not literally of the baby boom generation. This is what I mean. It means the attitude, because let's look at this. These guys come, and he can't help it. He's got to brag about what he's got. Instead of just, you know, saying, oh, well, thank you. A golden turtle or something. Send that back to your king and tell him I appreciate it. You know, give him a gift back and go on. No, he's got to brag about it. I was sitting one time. This is, yes, another tangent. I know. I was sitting in a restaurant one time, and you know, there wasn't a lot of, they were probably about at least one person short on wait staff. And I had this young guy as you know, waiting on my table. And, he's trying to cover several tables. And I'm getting a little aggravated because we're finally finished. And you know, all I need is the bill. I can get paid and leave. You know, once I'm done, you know. And at the table next to me was a boomer couple. And you know, they kept talking. And at first I thought, well, you know, maybe this is, I don't know, one of their grandkids' friends or something. You know, because this was a young guy, probably 19 years old, if I had to guess. And these people were older than me. They were boomers. But, I mean, obviously they weren't relation because this guy was Hispanic, and the boomer couple were white. But I thought maybe it's one of their grandkids' friends or something. Anyway, long story short, I'm sitting there, and I'm starting to get aggravated because the waiter is still standing over here at the boomer couple table, and all I need is my damn check so I can leave. So I, like, you know, tune my ear in to listen. And they've got him hung up there, going on about different houses they own. This is pulling out their phone. This is a house we bought in Arizona. Now, see, we had the Arizona house, and then like this random waiter that they do not know because I listened to enough to understand they don't know this guy, but they can't help it. They got to brag to this random 19-year-old waiter about various houses, showing him pictures on their phone of this house they have. Not pictures of their grandkids or their kids, a picture of their house. Yes, I did. I did do the excuse me, you know, and interrupt. I did that as much for the poor waiter's sake as I did for my own, because I wanted to get the hell out of there. You know, this kid doesn't give a shit about your house in Arizona. But point being, they couldn't help it. They had to brag about it. And Hezekiah is the same way. He can't just keep, he's got to show them. Why would you take dudes from another kingdom and go in there and show them? Would you let some random, like, see, you have a random guy knock on your door as a salesman. Would you invite him into your house and then be like, you know, and here's my gun safe. Here's the combination to it. Oh, look at that. Look at all my guns I've got. You know, look here under my bed. There's a shoebox. I keep all my extra cash in here. Nice vacuum cleaner you've got for sale. He literally shows these guys. And so Isaiah the prophet shows up and he's like, rhetorical question. Who are these dudes that just left? Oh, they come from this other kingdom. And he already knows they done been showing him around. What have they seen? What did you show them? I showed them everything. What do you mean? They got to know how great I am. Look at all the stuff I've got that's been collected by my forefathers for generations. Then Isaiah the prophet is like, okay, here's the word of the Lord. Now, when I read a story, a historical account, I'm one of those people, I put myself in the people's shoes. You know, how would I feel? And, you know, that way, I don't know. I just, that's what I do. I've always done that. So Isaiah the prophet, he goes to him and he says, this is the word of the Lord. You know, not Isaiah's opinion. This is the word of the Lord. Now, because it's the word of the Lord, this tells you that when Isaiah was like, who are those guys and what did you show him? He already knew the answer. God had already told him that, you know, he didn't just wander in there and then say, well, this is the word of the Lord. God had already said, you need to go down there because this, you can believe what this fool be doing now. So he says to Hezekiah, here's the word of the Lord. The day is going to come. This guy's going to send his dudes, his army, and they're going to take everything you've got. All of this stuff that you just showed, they're going to come take it. Your sons who will be born of you are not only going to be taken prisoner, they're going to be eunuchs and serve. You know what eunuch means. So Isaiah the prophet says, Hezekiah, your sons, which are going to be born to you, are going to be taken captive. They're going to take all your stuff. They're going to take your sons, capture them as prisoners, take them back, cut their balls off. So your line will not be going further, at least not through your sons here we're talking about. They're going to cut their balls off, castrate them, and they're going to be servants. They're going to be slaves. They're going to be eunuchs in this other nation's palace. Now, again, I put myself in Isaiah's shoes. You just picture. Because you stop there. You know, he says, this is from God. This ain't my opinion. This is from God. This isn't me saying this is a bad idea. This is the word of the Lord. This is why he had me come down here in the first place, because you're acting a fool down here. These guys are going to, the day is going to come. These guys are going to come. They're going to steal all your stuff. They're going to take your sons, which you're going to have in the future, and they're going to become prisoners, and they're going to castrate them, end your line through them, and they will just be slaves in the palace of the Babylonians. Now, you stop there, and what do you expect? Yeah, I expect, and I wonder if Isaiah the prophet didn't expect this. You expect a ripping of the clothes. Because remember back, you know, I just kind of gave the summary, you know, when Hezekiah was going to die and Isaiah said, you know, God says, yeah, you're going to die. You know, he rent his clothes and begged Isaiah to pray on my behalf, appeal to the Lord that I may live longer. And God did. He said, yeah, I'll give you this many more years of living. Now, Isaiah comes and tells Hezekiah, this is what's going to happen. Your sons are going to be castrated. I mean, the stuff, they're going to steal the stuff that was collected by kings for generations, your forefathers. They're going to take all your stuff. That's bad enough. But worse, they're going to take your sons, which you're going to have, and castrate them and make them their slaves. Now, you stop there, and I would expect, and I think Isaiah probably expected, you can expect the same thing as when he told him he himself was going to die. Yeah, you stop there, and you expect renting of the clothes, and oh my gosh, you know, because we all screw up. You know, pray on behalf of the Lord. Where's the same attitude that he had before when it was his own personal life threatened? Pray on my behalf of the Lord that this may not come to pass. I screwed up. How do I fix it? I think that's what it does. I would think, because if I was in Isaiah's shoes, that's what I expect. I'd be wrong. Because Hezekiah's reaction is the complete most boomer reaction you could expect. Hezekiah's reaction is not the same reaction he had when he was told he himself was going to die. No, his reaction is, praise God. I just picture Isaiah with this blank look, because this is the look I would have. This, sometimes I wish I could do this show on video, because y'all see my facial expressions. Just this. Bruh. Hezekiah's reaction is the dead opposite of when he was told he was going to die. His reaction when Isaiah says, these guys, the day is going to come when all this is going to happen, his reaction is, praise God. True is the word of the Lord. Because it isn't going to happen in my lifetime. Is that not the most boomer? This is what I mean. It's not a generational thing. That's why I think it's so silly when people who are of the boomer generation, oh, you know, you criticize the boomers. It's about the attitude. It didn't mean there's something magical about you because you were born in these years. What that people are talking about is the attitude. And Hezekiah was thousands of years before the baby boomer generation. And I'm sorry, this is the most baby boomer description I have read in a long time. Screw those kids. I won't be here for it. Let them be eunuchs. Now, when he thought he was going to die, it was, oh, pray before God that I might live longer. When it's, your kids are going to get hauled off and castrated, doesn't affect me any. Praise the Lord. I just picture Isaiah being like, say, what? Because I would have been standing there like, he going to do that whole asking me to beg of God on his behalf to fix his screw-ups, isn't he? And then the guy's like, woo, praise Jesus. Well, he wouldn't have said Jesus. Praise the Lord. And you'd be like, wait, what? Did you? I would have been like Isaiah. If I'd have been Isaiah, I'd have been like, whoa, 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 hold up. I don't think you heard me. I'm running long here. I need to wrap this up. I don't think you heard me. You didn't hear something right. What do you mean? Praise be to God. His word is true. Did you not hear what I just said? Oh, yeah, no, I heard you, man. And you know what I heard? Ain't happening in my lifetime. Not my problem, brother. Not my problem. How many times in your life, depending on how old you are, you know, say in the 1990s, for instance, and somebody would, you know, like a Ross Perot type would be talking about, you know, we can't saddle our kids and grandkids with this massive debt. We're selling off our grandkids and our kids' futures. And how many of you heard boomers go, I won't be here for it. I don't care. Hezekiah was the first boomer thousands of years ago. Screw those kids. Let them get their nuts cut off. I won't be here for it. I'll have peace in my days. Woo! Thank you, Lord. This is one of the problems, though. You know, you got these old people. You look at it, and politics naturally attracts the worst. This is where I try to tie it in. You know, you take Trump, for instance. He don't give a shit about anybody but Trump. And, you know, you got people like, man, you know, surely there's people trying to talk him down from some of this insanity. And they're like, you know, you're going to wreck everything. The global economy is going to collapse. You know, in 5 years, you could be looking at a depression and there's no future for any of these people. And you could see Trump being like, I won't be here for it. Praise the Lord. If you were going to have some system like this. Yeah, you need a minimum age. You don't want young, foolish people making decisions. But at the same time, you need a maximum age. Because you need people that are going to be making decisions that when they make those decisions, they can't be sitting there going, well, I won't be around for the repercussions. Screw it. Am I going to make money today? Then that's all I care about. Let the next batch worry about it. That'll be their problem. I'll be gone by then. So you need a maximum age because you got these people and they got the same attitude as Hezekiah. If you're talking about, you're talking to somebody 80 years old and you say, man, in 10 years, things could just be like on fire, you know, just a train wreck, just a dumpster fire. You know, he's 80 years old. He didn't give a shit. In his mind, he's thinking, I'm going to be dead by then. Why do I care? I can make another $20 million. You know? Screw them kids. Let them get castrated. Let them be broke. Anyway, it's the boomer mentality. And that's what I say. Understand, it's not about you in a generation. It is about the attitude. That's what people, when you hear people criticize, because I know I got a boomers listen. That's good. It's not about your generation per se. It's about the attitude. You know, we're talking about the attitude. Hezekiah, that's thousands of years before the baby boom generation. And that is the most boomer shit I've ever read. You know, it's the attitude. You see what I'm saying? We need some kind of, like, there should be a maximum age on these people. The attitude there. And the entire system is like that. They don't care what's happening. How's it affected them personally? Are they going to make money? All these politicians, are they going to make money? Good. Are the negative effects going to happen after it's not their problem? That's it. That's all they care. They all have that same attitude. If it's them personally, they like Hezekiah. Oh, pray to God that I might be delivered and get some extra life. But as far as their kids, let their balls be cut off. I don't care. It doesn't affect me. It'll be peaceful in my day. We got to wrap up on that note. I hope the rest of your week is peaceful. Hope you enjoy the rest of the week. Hope everything goes well. And I hope to see you back here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.